This session is about mental wellness as stress prevention. In the modern world, where speed is more important than depth, where technology literally bombards us from all sides with an endless amount of information, news, and messages, one absolutely essential thing is forgotten: taking care of one's own soul. It's so easy to get caught up in the constant stream of sentences, notifications, tasks, and responsibilities while overlooking something as fragile and important as our mental well-being. How many times have you paused for a moment and realized that you are tired not only physically, but mentally as well? That you are weighed down by something you can't name, yet it affects every second of your day? Mental wellness, or mental health care, is not just some insignificant luxury that we should make time for when everything else in our lives has calmed down. On the opposite, it is the cornerstone upon which everything else is built. Without mental balance, the challenges of daily life can be even more overwhelming, our energy can quickly leave us, and our ability to focus, make decisions, or create drastically declines. With slight overstatement, it can be said that a healthy psyche is like a well-maintained operating system. When it's working properly, everything runs smoothly and efficiently. But when our internal programs are overloaded with stress, negative emotions, or lack of calm, we feel like a slow and buggy computer that threatens to crash with every action. Let's think about it. What is mental wellness anyway? How would we define it? It can be the ability to feel joy even when circumstances are not perfect. It can be the courage to face challenges without breaking down. Or maybe it's a sense of inner peace and self-acceptance that keeps us afloat even when everything is crashing down around us. In any case, it is something that is deeply individual, that takes many forms, and that certainly cannot be summed up in one universal lesson. And yet, its importance to our daily lives is undeniable. Without mental freshness, even the biggest dreams can become nightmares and everyday responsibilities seemingly unconquerable mountains. But why is it so easy to neglect taking care of our own mental health? Perhaps it's because, unlike visible physical problems like a broken arm or a migraine, the symptoms of mental health neglect aren't immediately apparent. It sneaks into our lives quietly. Maybe just occasional annoyance, a little less energy, more frequent negative thoughts. And suddenly, you find that you don't even remember what it's like to really relax, to really enjoy yourself, or to feel at peace with yourself. But mental wellness is also a discipline. It's a regular routine, just like brushing your teeth every morning or refilling the water in your flowers. Our minds need space, rest, and opportunities to regenerate. Mental health care can take many forms. For some, it may be a moment of meditation or deep breathing. For others, it's a walk in nature where they feel part of something bigger again. Sometimes a warm bath, a book, or a few minutes in complete silence can be enough. The important thing is to find what works for you. Just as not everyone likes the same kind of coffee, there is no universal approach to achieving mental well-being. And let's not forget how much mental health affects our effectiveness and ability to achieve our goals in life. When we're exhausted, overwhelmed, and our mind is like a chaotic drawer full of mess, it's no wonder every task seems like a giant mountain. Taking care of the soul, however, doesn't mean we have to become Zen masters and move to the mountains, even if that sounds attractive. It's about finding the right balance between work and rest, between what we give to others and what we give to ourselves. So take a moment, take a deep breath, and try to ask yourself, when was the last time you did something just for your own mental health? When was the last time you listened to yourself, your needs, and desires without immediately looking for some practical solutions? If you can't answer that question, maybe now is the time to start. So sit back, grab a coffee or tea, turn off your notifications, and create space for yourself to receive the care we each deserve. Your soul will thank you for it. Mental wellness is about how you feel, but not just superficially, like when you smile at a stranger on the street because your mom told you to when you were a kid. It's about a deep state of inner balance and well-being that guides you not only in moments of calm, but also when everything is swirling around you in a whirlwind of stress or uncertainty. Mental wellness is being in touch with your emotions, listening to them, and knowing what they want to tell you, as well as understanding what your inner voice is whispering, or maybe screaming. It's the ability to handle life's storms with grace, no matter what comes your way. Not because you wave a magic wand and everything will be easy, but because you're ready for it. Think of mental wellness as fitness, but this time we're lifting weights for the mind. It probably doesn't weigh an ounce, but honestly, when it starts having a hard time, it feels like a boulder. This is how we train our ability to work with thoughts. We learn to accept them, reframe them, and not run away from them. Mental wellness is also about making mindful choices. What do I let into my mind and what absolutely doesn't belong there? You suspect it's like inviting guests to a party. You want the inspiring, supportive, and positive ones, not the ones who come to eat your fridge and criticize the decorations. And what exactly does this psychological balance mean in practice? In reality, mental wellness is made up of several areas that work like pieces of a puzzle. In order for everything to fit together, you need to work on each one and not skip anything. The first area is self-knowledge. Self-knowledge isn't just about knowing what shoe size you wear or what your favorite movie is. It's about understanding who you are, what your values are, what gets you out of bed every morning. When you know yourself, you have a solid foundation for setting boundaries, managing your time, meeting your goals, and most importantly, finding meaning in what you do every day. Another key part of mental wellness is working with emotions. What does this mean? Not just experiencing euphoria when something goes well, or feeling despair when something unpleasant affects you. It is the art of becoming aware of what you are feeling, accepting it, and understanding why you are feeling it. Because emotions are not the enemy, as we often feel when we are overwhelmed by anger or anxiety. They are signals along the way that tell us what needs to change or what to focus on. And remember, there's nothing wrong with having a bad day. What's wrong is ignoring it or pushing it aside. And how about taking care of the mind? Here we come to the next piece of the puzzle: mental relaxation and regeneration. Too often we are overwhelmed by the amount of information, obligations, and expectations that come at us from all sides. Mental wellness includes the ability to stop, breathe, and take time for ourselves. This means not only turning off the TV and going for a walk, but also looking around mindfully, appreciating the beauty of nature, or even realizing what you actually need right now. Sometimes it's silence, other times it's pleasant music, or a deep conversation with a loved one. We must not forget the importance of the strength of social relationships. While you may think that mental wellness is about you alone, the truth is that our mental well-being is often influenced by those around us. Having people by your side who support you, listen to you, and raise your positive vibration is literally a treasure. On the other hand, managing situations with those who are more challenging, whether you're dealing with them at work or at home, is also a crucial aspect of maintaining wellness. And then there's something we like to forget: humor. Yes, mental wellness includes the ability to laugh, even and especially at ourselves. Because if you can take life in stride and see the humorous side of even the most unfortunate moments, you'll gain an incredible tool to cope with just about anything. Laughter is a form of meditation. It's just a little louder and acts faster. Finally, mental wellness teaches us to care for our mental health as a valuable treasure. It helps us realize that taking care of ourselves is not a luxury, but a necessity. This is why you should think of your life as a garden from now on. Plant new ideas, tend it with kindness and understanding, and above all, remember to pull the occasional weed. Because believe me, with each step you take towards mental well-being, your life will begin to change, for the better, for the brighter, for the more comfortable, and honestly, who wouldn't want that? Let's talk about emotional regulation. Emotional regulation is like having the best navigation system in the car, which not only shows you which way to go, but also reminds you that you are still on the right road, even if you are not sure whether to turn left or stop at a rest area. Imagine you're on a long journey to an unfamiliar destination. If your navigation system suddenly failed, you might feel confusion, frustration, or even worry. But as soon as you recognize what's happening, a light goes off in your head. Aha! I'm losing direction! And that's how emotions work. They are our internal signpost that tells us what's going on inside us, and they can also alert us when we're off track. Let's imagine another scenario. You're driving and a red light comes on the dashboard. What do you do? Do you ignore it and think it's nothing? Or do you pull over, open the bonnet, check the oil, and see if everything is okay? The right choice is likely the second one. Okay, you might call a mechanic, but you still don't ignore it. Emotions are just like those red lights in our inner car. Every feeling we experience carries a message. It's not there for nothing, but to point us somewhere. If we pay attention to what the emotional checkpoints are showing us, we can avoid a lot of problems and ease our way through life, too. Understanding our emotions means accepting the fact that sometimes there are situations when our heart races, our thumbs sweat, or we want to run to the other side of the world. These moments aren't bad. They're moments when our bodies are sending us signals. But this brings us to a crucial point. Not all emotions are easy to read. Sometimes the emotions you feel are so strong that they look like a hurricane ready to blow you off course. But even hurricanes have their centers of calm, and if we learn to find them, we can navigate through these storms and come out not just unharmed, but also stronger. It is important to realize that all emotions are valuable and have their place. Yes, all of them, even the ones we'd rather box up and send far away. Fear, anger, sadness. We can't run from them, and the truth is, if we tried, they would eventually find us. Rather, it's far more beneficial to make peace with them. Hello, fear, I see you. Why are you here? What do you need to leave? That's a monologue we can have within ourselves, too. Recognizing our emotions doesn't mean letting them take control of the steering wheel. It means giving them space to express themselves, and then sending them back to the passenger seat. This is where the art of managing emotions in a healthy way comes in. It's like when it rains on the road, water slides everywhere, but you know how to proceed. You turn on the windshield wipers, you slow down, you focus on the road. Because even in a storm, you stay on the road. That's how it is with emotions. One day you'll feel calm and composed, like driving down a sun-drenched highway, but other times it'll be rough, with obstacles. And it's the ability to handle these situations with elegance and self-understanding that will keep you firmly on your own path, no matter what the weather is doing at the time. For each of us, the key is something different. Some people find it helpful to write out their emotions in a journal. Others need to run, paint, or talk about their feelings with someone they trust. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that we choose to let our emotions flow instead of ignoring or suppressing them. Because repressed emotions don't disappear, they just get stored deeper, and sooner or later they will surface anyway, usually when we least expect it. Remember one thing. Your emotions are not your enemy. On the contrary, they are your partners in the journey of life. They are like an internal team of advisors telling you, "Hey, slow down, something's not right." Or conversely, "This is it, keep going, this is right for you." The better you listen to them, the better you will manage your journey. So stop, take a breath, and pay attention to those red lights. They can show you how to take the best trip of a lifetime that you can imagine. Now, let's talk about social well-being. You can't do it without people. Or is it? This would be the moment when die-hard introverts could join the debate, who would probably argue that they don't miss anything in the company of their favorite cup of tea or a good book. But honestly, how many of us are really able to live without any contact with other people? Yes, we may want a break from everyone now and then. We shut ourselves away in our own world, turn off our cell phones, black out the windows, and suddenly the world seems more manageable. However, even the biggest loner has to come out sometimes, and admit that solid, healthy relationships are indeed one of the key factors in our personal happiness. It doesn't necessarily have to be a huge group of people. Each of us has different needs and a different capacity for social relationships. Some have dozens of friends with whom they regularly share their joys and sorrows, while others may just need one close person to talk to about life. And both options are perfectly fine. The important thing is not the quantity of people around us, but the quality of those relationships. If you think about it, who are the ones you can really rely on? Who will listen to you without judging? Who will make you feel that you are not alone? Maybe now someone's face or name has floated to the surface of your mind. These are the people who form your pillar of social well-being. Friends, family, colleagues, or even wider community connections, like neighbors or people with whom you share a common hobby, all play a vital role when we feel low. Imagine having a bad day. Maybe you're frustrated by a setback at work, dealing with a personal crisis, or just plagued by unending gray weather. It's that phone call from a friend, a smile from a colleague at work, or a hug from a loved one that can snap us out of that spiral of gloomy thoughts. Relationships give us strength when we don't want to or can't draw from it ourselves. And not only that, healthy relationships give us something even greater, meaning, direct and extremely easy to miss meaning in our lives. Do you realize how deeply fulfilling the simple presence of someone who accepts us for who we are can be? Social connections confirm to us that we are part of something bigger and that our place in the world is important. Whether it's a shared laugh over a cup of coffee, a silent support on someone's shoulders during a difficult time, or just a little help that shows we can be a support to each other, it all defines us and nourishes our inner selves in some way. Of course, social relationships are not always easy. There will be periods of conflict, misunderstanding, or mutual disconnection. That's normal. But it is the effort to maintain a healthy connection with those we care about that teaches us patience, empathy, and the ability to forgive. It's not about perfection. None of us are flawless, and the same is true of our relationships. But what's the beauty of it? Quality relationships don't need perfection. They need authenticity. They need effort. And yes, sometimes we need to take a few deep breaths before we engage in an important conversation. For example, if you've hit a period where you think people have let you down and you'd better give up, try to stop for a moment. Think about who in your life is worthwhile. It doesn't have to be a whole group, just one single person. Why? Because even one solid relationship can be the key to a sense of social well-being. People aren't perfect, but because of each other's imperfections, we have the opportunity to learn, grow, and improve ourselves. Team play, whether with a partner, friends, or colleagues, reminds us that we are not machines isolated in our functions. We are social beings, and even the biggest introvert probably has someone who contributes to their joy, whether they admit it or not. So, keep this in mind. While it's important to look after our own well-being and set boundaries, let's not forget what others can give us. Social well-being is like a bridge. You can cross it alone, but it is much stronger and more beautiful when you build it together with others. And who knows, you may meet not only others on that bridge, but finally, yourself. Let's talk about personal growth. Personal growth is like a hidden treasure that we all have stored deep within us. Each of us carries unimaginable potential, something just waiting to be discovered, dusted off and tapped. But let's face it, we often leave our potential dusty on the shelf of our inner world. Why? Maybe because we feel like we don't have time for it. The daily responsibilities, the rush of tasks, deadlines, meetings, and endless to-do lists often consume us so much that we simply don't realize how much power, energy, and potential we have in our hands. And so, the treasure lies on the sidelines, untapped, unnecessarily becoming a kind of forgotten souvenir of our own uniqueness. But let's think for a moment. What would our lives look like if we allowed ourselves to uncover that potential? What if we picked up a symbolic duster, brushed away the layers of lack of interest or doubt, and began to realize what is really inside of us? Personal growth is not about becoming someone else. It's not about surpassing everyone else or measuring up to someone else's standards. On the contrary, personal growth is about you, about becoming a better version of yourself every day. It's about discovering what you truly enjoy, what brings you joy, where your strengths lie, and what gives you purpose. And let's face it, you can imagine the personal development journey as a great adventure. It can take the form of learning, reading books, listening to inspiring people, or thinking new ideas that make you see the world from a different angle than before. But it doesn't have to be just about intellectual growth. Personal development can be about creating, whether you're painting, writing, gardening, or simply building something, the meaning is in the process. It's about creating something of your own, something unique that carries the mark of your personality and energy. And what about that kind of discovery? When was the last time you tried something completely new? When did you decide to step outside your comfort zone and try something that maybe even scared you a little? It's in these moments, when we dare to do something that seemed impossible before, that we often find the greatest satisfaction in growth. And it doesn't have to be a big thing right away, like free-falling with a parachute. Although if you're capable of that, hats off to you. Small steps are enough: signing up for a course, reaching out to someone new, or simply taking time to reflect on your own dreams. Personal growth not only moves us forward, but also helps us to live life with greater quality, joy, and meaning. When we pay attention to ourselves, when we invest time and energy in our development, we begin to notice that the world around us is changing. Why? Because we ourselves are changing. We are developing our skills, gaining new perspectives, and suddenly seeing opportunities we didn't see before. We find ourselves attracted to people who encourage us, situations that improve us, and experiences that give us a sense of fulfillment. Of course, the path of personal growth can be challenging at times. We may face challenges, setbacks, or disappointments. No one is saying that growth is always easy, but it is in these moments that our true strength is created. As the saying goes, roses grow on thorns, and likewise, our potential often grows through the difficulties we overcome. Each such obstacle can become a stepping stone to something better. And so, I want to tell you one important thing. There is no need to wait for the ideal moment. There is no perfect time when it makes sense to start working on yourself. The best time to start is right now. Think about what small things you can do today to help your personal growth. Read a few pages of an inspirational book, write down your goals, try out a new skill, or just set aside a moment to think about what you really want. Remember, personal growth is not a sprint, but a marathon. It is a long-term process that is constantly teaching us something new about ourselves and the world around us. And it's a process that's worth every minute of your time. So if you've been leaving your potential dusty on a shelf somewhere, it's time to pick it up and start developing it. Because there's something amazing in all of us just waiting for its opportunity. And who else but you should give that opportunity life? What about body and mind? The mind-body connection is a fascinating and often overlooked topic that is key to understanding our overall health and well-being. Whether you're a lover of running in the woods looking for your zen moment with rain on your forehead, or a person who would rather stay under a blanket with a pizza in one hand and a remote control in the other, the truth is simple. We can't separate our physical health from our mental health. These two worlds, the physical and the mental, are not just connected by a bridge. They are literally linked like Siamese twins. What happens to one immediately affects the other. Think of it as a very complicated dance. If one dancer, let's say the body starts having ankle pain, the other dancer, the mind won't do perfect pirouettes on the floor either, right? If our body is suffering from congestion, lack of exercise, or is overloaded with caffeine-flavored stress, our mind will be no better off. If we're tired, irritable, and sleep-deprived, we can't expect to just wake up one fine morning and have everything in our lives make sense. Negative feelings stick to us like gum to a shoe, and we wonder why all the things around us are suddenly so unkind. If you have 5 cups of coffee or 4 cans of energy drinks in a hectic workday, you might be able to handle a flood of emails at any given moment or finish a project right before a deadline. But at what cost? Yes, in the moment, it may seem like you can do it all. But hurtling along at this pace, where your body gets a lot of sugar, caffeine, and nerve shocks, leaves devastating marks on your body and psyche in the long run. And frankly, hoping that after such a marathon of energy stimulants, the laws of nature will suddenly miraculously flip a switch and make you feel calm and happy isn't likely in the real world, unless there really is some mythical elixir of life in the can you're holding. Movement, diet, and sleep are elementary parts of our lives, even though this may seem like a tired phrase. Do you still remember gym class when the gym teacher kept telling you that movement is life? Well, he was right. Without regular exercise, our bodies suffer, our muscles become flabby, our bodies become less oxygenated, and in the long run, our risk of various diseases increases. Now imagine adding to that unhealthy eating habits based on quick snacks high in sugar, salt, and bad fats. How do you think the mind will react? Well, it's probably hardly going to be happy to encourage you to take on new challenges. Rather, you'll feel tired, irritable, and motivation will roll away like that ball on the bowling alley if you throw it too fast. And the sleep? Oh, if you are one of those who believe that 3 or 4 hours of sleep is enough because sleep is for softies, let me clear up that misunderstanding. Lack of sleep literally robs our bodies and minds of their ability to regenerate. During sleep, the brain clears itself of toxic substances that have accumulated during the day while processing memories and information. When you cut back on sleep, not only does your memory and ability to learn suffer, but your mood takes a big hit. A sleep-robbed day is often synonymous with a bad mood, stress, and zero desire to create or solve problems. The connection between body and mind is therefore practically inseparable. Every step you take to support your physical fitness, eating habits, and sleep hygiene will be reflected in how you feel mentally. Conversely, if you start to work on your approach to stress, for example, or set up tools to better communicate with those around you, you'll also support your body. It's a cycle that you just can't skip. So what to do about it? Start with small steps. Skip an energy drink and enjoy a quick walk in the open air. Swap one fast food lunch for a light vegetable salad or add fruit to your breakfast for a natural energy boost. And if you feel like sleep is a luxury, try going to bed half an hour earlier and create an evening ritual to help you fall asleep better. Your body and mind will thank you for it. And who knows, you may soon feel that this dance of body and mind can become a harmony for your health and a happier life. Let's dive into practical part. The practical part within the topic of mental wellness will be divided into several separate, clear, and easy-to-grasp parts. I will tell you one thing. We know that each of us is different, and likewise, each of us needs a different approach to find our inner peace and well-being. What suits one person may be far from another, and that's the magic of it. In the introduction to this practical section, we delve into ideas that are profound and timeless. And we'll start with Stoicism, which is not just a philosophy for ancient sages who sat on stones and stared into the distance, though the notion is romantic. Stoicism is a tool, an approach to life that helps you manage chaos, stress, and daily challenges with poise and determination while maintaining a sense of inner peace. No, it doesn't force you to become a Stoic ice king or choose emotional distance. Instead, it helps you better understand your own emotions, accept what you can't change, and process challenges as opportunities for growth. It'll be a bit of a lesson in mental self-defense. Ready? But in order not to overwhelm you with philosophy, I will put these ideas directly into practice. I will show you specific Stoic techniques that you can easily use in your everyday life. It is said that peace is not to be found outside, but within. The Stoics give us a great working guide on how to create and strengthen this peace within. For example, we'll talk about visualizing worst-case scenarios. a tool that paradoxically teaches you gratitude for what you have. We'll talk about the practice of temporariness awareness, which helps us focus more on the present. And we can't leave out the principle of dual control, the distinction between what we can control and what we can't. Trust me, this distinction is as freeing as the first breath of spring air. And now, back to you. Because not everyone finds inner comfort in philosophical reflection and pondering the transience of existence. That's why I will also introduce you to other techniques and methods so you can choose the one that resonates best with your setting, needs, and ideas. I won't give you a one-size-fits-all guide or a ready-made recipe for peace, because that would be useless anyway. Each of us has different ingredients for our well-being cocktail. Some of you may find balance in your breath, so let's discuss different breathing techniques to help you manage stress and quickly calm down, even in the most difficult moments. For example, we'll demonstrate the popular 4-7-8 technique, which puts you in a state of pleasant relaxation within minutes. For others, movement will be the way to go. We'll demonstrate a short set of stretching exercises that will not only bring relief to the body, but also clear the mind. And then there are the creative souls. How about creating your own map of calmness? We'll draw our emotional security, write down inspirational thoughts, or map out areas we want to improve in our lives. It doesn't matter if you're an artist or draw like a chicken with your feet. The important thing is to give your thoughts a valve and structure. But wait, that's not all. I also have relaxation techniques up my sleeve that will bring you right into a Zen state. We might even get into kindness meditation, an exercise in which you learn to be kind not only to others, but especially to yourself. Because, let's face it, who among us hasn't treated our inner self like an irritable teacher in a class meeting when stressed? Whether you end up choosing stoic approaches, breathing exercises, movement, or relaxation, trust that all these techniques are aimed at one goal: to gain more control over your inner self, to anchor yourself in your own inner peace, and to take the best out of the chaos of today's times without being overwhelmed by it. Just imagine. The world is rushing around you like a storm, but you are firmly planted on your island of calm, deeply rooted in your strength and ready for whatever life brings. Here is the exercise. Targeted discomfort. How to prepare for discomfort and find inner peace. The sun doesn't always shine in life. From time to time, we get rain, cold, or even a big snowstorm, both metaphorically and literally. The Stoics, the philosophical masters of calmness, had the perfect response to these situations. Instead of avoiding the elements, they actively exposed themselves to them. Why? Because they knew that if they learned to work with discomfort, their minds would become stronger. One practical way to achieve this resilience was, and now stick with it, to expose themselves to the cold wearing only a t-shirt. Yes, you heard right. No jacket, scarf, or gloves, but a plain t-shirt. Sound crazy? It might, but there was a clear logic to their approach. What it looked like in practice. Imagine the following situation. The outside temperature slowly drops below freezing. Snowflakes are dancing in the air. The wind is sweeping through the streets, and you see a man walking slowly, calmly down the street, wearing only a light t-shirt and pants. But instead of shouting, "I'm cold," or hurrying back home to a warm fireplace, this person is smiling. Maybe it's one of the Stoics. The goal of this practice was not to become an armored superhero who never feels the cold. On the contrary, the Stoics knew that the body would react. Skin would flush, muscles would sparkle with tension, and cold would find its way under the skin. However, instead of being caught off guard by the discomfort, the Stoics consciously worked on how they would react to the situation mentally. Working with thoughts during discomfort. During his calm walk, the Stoic might say or think sentences like, "I feel cold, but it is only a physical phenomenon. I don't have to react to it with negative emotions." Or, "Winter is part of nature and my experience. I accept it because I can't change it." Or, "This experience will strengthen my resilience. If a more difficult situation ever comes up, I will be better prepared. This mindset helped the Stoics bridge discomfort and see it as an opportunity for growth. It was not just about physical readiness, but mental training to handle with the inevitable. And it's not just about winter. We can practice uncomfortable situations instead of stressing about them. We can solve problems we've long put off because of fear or worry. No matter which we choose, if we make a game or a challenge out of these situations, they will be easier to handle both now and in the future, and stress will no longer have a place with us. And if you imagine that the Stoics were similar to monks who lived on the universe's energy and had no concern for money, nope. Many of the Stoics were amongst the wealthiest of the wealthy of their day, great generals, businessmen, and philosophers. Here are some examples of other Stoic challenges. This method of winter walks was certainly not the only one practiced by the Stoics. Their philosophy was full of practical exercises aimed at developing inner strength, whether in physical discomfort or in other areas of life. Physical fasts. Stoics, such as Seneca, often practiced voluntary fasts as well. It was not just that they did not eat for a few days, but that they purposefully reduced the fear of shortage by doing this. They said to themselves, "If I can go without food for a few days and be fine, then the prospect of hunger will no longer frighten me." This training was to help them face situations where they might confront future shortages. Comfort zone reduced to a minimum. Another popular practice was to wear basic, sometimes shabby clothes and engage in social settings where they could face the judgment of others. By doing so, they learned to work through shame or fears about social status. The idea? If you can control the uncomfortable feelings that come from other people, then situations like this that would otherwise stress you out will stop controlling you. Voluntary isolation. Epictetus and other Stoics practiced isolation of the mind. This did not necessarily mean completely separating oneself from people, but setting aside a space of silence for a time. Imagine staying in your room with no music, phone, books, or any other distractions, with only your thoughts. This exercise supports the acceptance of being alone and enhances the skill of self-reflection. Practical trainings of luxury rejection. For example, Seneca liked to practice voluntary poverty by eating only minimal amounts of basic food, sleeping on hard ground, or dressing in uncomfortable clothing. Why did he do this? His main point was, if I can enjoy even the most basic conditions, then luxury will not be the basis of my happiness. Accepting discomfort as a tool for mental growth. These practices may seem unnecessarily excessive to you, but the essence is very simple and universal. If you are ready for discomfort and know how to work with it, it will not come as a disaster. Stoics teach us that most of the stress and anxiety in life comes not from the events themselves, but from how we react to them. When we learn to accept these situations, they no longer control us. Whether it's the cold outside, a complicated work situation, fear of the future, or the minor discomforts of everyday life, the philosophy of Stoicism gives us useful tools. So, the next time you're wondering whether it's worth it to go out into the cold without a jacket, or whether you should try a day without your phone, you may discover not only a new dimension of resilience, but also of deep peace. It's all about acceptance, both of discomfort and of yourself. Let's look at some other ways to care for your soul. Setting up a routine as a fundamental anchor. I don't imagine that you will plan each day with minute precision, as if you were facing an urgent space rocket launch. It's really not necessary. But establishing a routine does not mean a military-style discipline. On the contrary, it's about creating a gentle but firm structure that will help you better manage the chaos of everyday life. It's like having your boat firmly moored in the harbor, even when a storm is raging around. Routine is your safe harbor, your anchor that keeps you from getting lost in the constant flood of stimuli, obligations, and decisions that come at you from all sides. Let's start with a simple example. Imagine you set aside 5 minutes every morning to have coffee with a book. No checking emails, no scrolling through social media, just you, a hot cup of coffee and a paper page. It may seem like a small thing, a trivial moment that won't make a big difference in your life. But the truth is, it's these little rituals that can have a huge impact on your mood and energy. Forget about starting your day on autopilot, where the first few hours feel more like a robot than a being full of life. Those few minutes of conscious stopping will give you a solid point from which to bounce into the next day. But you don't have to implement the routine only in the morning. It can be anything that makes sense to you, whether it's a regular exercise routine at a specific hour, a complete disconnect from technology in the evening, or even a little meditation. It's meant to be something that helps you stop drifting from duty to duty, from meeting to meeting, from task to task. Routine is there to give you control over what is happening and to give you the space to really be aware of your presence. It's like adding a solid and reliable support to your day that will hold you up even when everything around you may seem unpredictable. One of the great benefits of establishing a routine is that it also frees you from constant decision-making. How many times do you find that you spend more time thinking about what you should do than the activity itself? Routines are the genius answer to such moments. If you have pre-set that the afternoon belongs to a half-hour walk, or that you read a book every Thursday evening instead of passively watching TV, you don't have to think about it for long. You just do it because it's part of your established rhythm. Your mind will feel refreshed, allowing you to focus your energy on more significant tasks. But beware, routine is not something strict or confining. On the contrary, it's a matter for you to adapt. You are not a robot, so don't blame yourself if things sometimes don't go exactly as planned. Routines are there to support you, not hold you back. Maybe you sometimes fail to find time in the morning for coffee and a book. Maybe you just miss a relaxing moment in the evening. That's perfectly fine, because even so, the basic idea of routine is still present in your life and can be reestablished at any moment. Establishing a routine may mean small changes for some. For others, it may be the beginning of a whole new philosophy of life. If you feel like you're not quite in control of your day, try creating one small fixed point. Whether it's a regular time for your favorite exercise, a morning stop at breakfast, or even a moment of silence at sunset, these moments may end up giving you a stronger sense of stability than you would ever expect from them. And most importantly, the routine will help you create a rhythm that is in harmony with yourself. It's no longer about having to run to someone else's tempo. It's about finding your own. And if someone criticizes you for switching to regular steps instead of sprints, tell them with a smile that you're walking towards yourself. Routine isn't about cold planning. It's about finding what keeps you grounded and gives your life meaningful order. It's your personal anchor in a world that can sometimes feel like a turbulent sea without stable coasts. Meditation and mindfulness. Never overlook the impact of pausing. That simple moment when you allow yourself to turn off the autopilot for a moment, which otherwise leads you uncontrollably from your morning cup of coffee to your evening to-do list every day. You may be thinking that you don't have time for this. You have so much to do. But therein lies the paradox. The more rushed and chaotic our day, the more benefit we can gain from pausing for a moment and becoming fully present. That's not laziness. That's taking care of our minds. And our minds, let's face it, are frequently overlooked until we question why everything around us seems to fall apart. Meditation doesn't have to mean spreading a carefully chosen, soft Tibetan blanket on the floor, lighting aromatic sticks and turning into a yogi for an hour, acting as if there is no stress in the world. We won't fool ourselves. That image is more likely to give most of us the "this is definitely not for me" feeling. Meditation can be so simple that you'll be surprised at how much it can change your day. All you have to do is stop for maybe 2 minutes a day. Yes, really just 2 minutes. Focus on your breath. No big muscle exercises, no intense philosophical thoughts, just you and your breath. Breathe in, smooth, clean, deep. Exhale, slow, relaxing, as if all the little worries accumulated in your head are going away with it. Simple? Maybe at first look, but that's the magic. the simpler, the stronger. Now you may be thinking, okay, but what am I supposed to get out of it? How does it benefit me? Well, try to imagine that your mind is like an overloaded machine. It's constantly ticking and ticking, every day at full capacity, and you expect it to keep running efficiently. But what if you gave it just a moment of peace, a little reset? That's exactly what meditation and mindfulness do. You stop the endless spinning of thoughts, the noisy buzzing in your head that you're not even aware of, yet it exhausts you daily. Suddenly, you find a space where nothing disturbs you, a space that allows you to breathe and orient yourself in the midst of the chaos. And the breath is the basis of mindfulness. Do you remember the last time you really breathed mindfully? Not that you're just instinctively aware that you're breathing, because you can't do it without that, but by consciously feeling the air flow through your nose, your lungs expanding and your chest rising. Such an experience is simple, yet incredibly calming. And that's where it all begins, with the breath. It's like a reset button for your nervous system. Just try it. A slow inhale that you drive all the way down into your belly. And then an exhale, maybe a little longer than the inhale, where you really imagine that with each exhale, all the tension, worry, and annoying thousand bricks of stress you've been dragging around inside you all day are going out. What about all the bad thoughts that haunt you? They're like those little mosquitoes that always find their way into your head just when you think you've got everything under control. They gather, multiply, and start to spoil your whole frame of mind. Meditation will help you get those annoying thoughts out of your head. No one is asking you to remove them completely. You can't. You just help them float away instead of settling and brewing inside you until they overflow in the form of frustration, exhaustion, or nervousness. You keep them under control, and that in itself is a superpower. Start slowly, without pressure. It may not be perfect at first. You may have thoughts going through your head about all the things you haven't done yet, or all the things you need to do tomorrow. That's perfectly normal. Everyone's mind tends to wander and distract you. The main thing is that you focus on returning to the present moment. Whether you choose your breath, your heartbeat, or even the sounds around you, never forget that meditation is like exercising a muscle. The more often you practice it, the stronger and easier it will become. In a few days or weeks, you may find that your brain is calmer, your stress response slower, and your mood a little more stable. Ultimately, it's about giving ourselves the gift of presence. And believe it or not, it can change your whole day, and maybe even your whole life. So why not start today? You don't need a special meditation mat or an hour-long ritual. Just you, your breath, and a desire to turn off the chaos around you for a while. Self-reflection, journaling, and expressing emotions. Sometimes we need to be our own therapist. Write down what's bothering you, what you're excited about, what you dream about. A journal can be your best friend for self-reflection. Plus, you can put little victories in there to cheer you up on bad days. Limits on social media. Who wouldn't know? We start staring at our phone and suddenly realize that an hour has passed, during which we have fallen into the world of other people's perfect lives. Reduce your time online, especially if it makes you feel stressed or anxious. Give yourself a digital detox and connect with the real world. Silence notifications and check your phone only when you choose to. Creativity as a form of medicine. Whether it's writing, painting, dancing, or growing plants, engage in activities that awaken your creativity. Did you know that creative activities have the ability to reduce stress and improve mood? Then go for it. Maybe there's a new recipe in the kitchen or a new story on paper. The miracle of everyday life. Keep in mind that mental wellness is not a goal you reach once and be done with it. It is a process, a daily journey. We are humans, not robots, and it's normal to feel tired, overwhelmed, or confused at times. The key is to be kind to yourself and not judge yourself for moments of weakness. Investing in your mental well-being is the greatest favor you can give yourself. When you find your inner peace, you will naturally be stronger, more resilient, and happier. And what's better than living a life that's filled with both duty and joy?